reading to you from the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, and with the 15th verse. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how he must suffer for my name's sake." Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach. And I've been sharing Christ ever since. Oh, friends, listen. The weather has been so nice here in Colorado. We got up to 70-some degrees. Isn't that something? Well, and spring starts tomorrow. And buds on the trees. Oh, my. Isn't it nice to have spring? We had a long, nasty winter. But I guess we have to have winters, too. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 9th chapter of Acts. Let's begin reading with the 36th verse. Now in Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it came about at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it up in an upper room. And since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him to entreat him, "Do not delay to come to us." And Peter arose and went with them, and when he had come, they brought him into the upper room. And all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with him. But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed and turned to the body. He said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up and called the saints and widows. He presented her alive. And it became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Listen, friends, I've labeled this Dorcas, who witnessed with deeds. Friends, did you know what? It is so important that you and I have good deeds and good works. It's a wonderful way to let people know that you're a Christian. That you say, "Well, Cecil, come on, non-Christians do good deeds." Sure they do, I know. But we do it because we want to promote Christ. And the early church was put on the move. Thousands were saved at Jerusalem and beyond. And Saul was saved on the road to Damascus. You know that stinker? He went out there and he thought he was doing the Lord a great service. He was knocking Christians in the head, putting them in jail, and even to their death. And he really honestly believed he was doing God a service. Later on, he confessed he did it in total ignorance. But boy, howdy, when the Lord got a hold of Saul of Tarsus and turned his name to Paul, he literally turned this world upside down for Jesus. You know what I like about Paul? You know, when he run out of money. Excuse me, like most of us do. Instead of running around begging and crying and hooting and nannying, he would just make a tent He'd sell it, take the money, and he'd go on. Not very many preachers in this world today would do that, but he did. See, the gospel spread through Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. Now, Peter performed miracles at Lydia and Joppa, and we read in the 32nd verse. Now it came about that as Peter was traveling through all those parts, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydia. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ healed you. Arise and make your bed. And immediately he rose. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day, a wonderful Christian friend, and we talked about this. And I said, isn't it strange? We have these people today, they call themselves healers, and they go about, they have big meetings, they make millions of dollars. And you know what? They can't raise the dead. Oh, you hear they did, but they don't. They can't raise the dead. Only the disciples and Jesus raised the dead. And I just wanted to bring that up. That's just a matter of conversation. Well, the palsied man was healed at Lydia. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead at Joppa. And who is Dorcas and what did she do? Well, Dorcas was a disciple. And it said, now in Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha. Which translated into Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. Well, Dorcas is the Greek form of her Aramaic name, Tabitha. Well, the Holy Spirit identifies her as a disciple. She had seen herself as a sinner, entrusted Christ as her Savior. She was dedicated to Christ and followed him in daily life. Oh, but friends, look at the fruit of the Spirit was evident in the life of Dorcas. Her testimony was no empty professions. Ever saw Christ in her. Friends, I oftentimes ask myself, do people see Jesus in me? And in our pulpits, in the rescue missions that I was a director, we had a little sign there on the pulpit. Let people see Jesus in you. And if they don't see Jesus in you, just wasting your time. Well, Christ changes our lives. He makes us new creatures. You know, the Bible said God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And beloved, listen. There's nothing more foolish than an alcoholic, I'll guarantee you, unless it's a drug addict or somebody. We were foolish. We were stupid. We were dumb. And then, one day, I met a preacher on the phone. I called him out of the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning, never heard of the guy. But I told him I was going to take my life because my wife told me that we were through and she were taking my children and they were moving to Portland. I didn't want to live. Why would I want to live without them? The way I treated them, oh my stars, what a terrible thing. It troubles me when I even think about it. But when I got to that pastor's home, he was very sympathetic. And he listened to everything I had to say. And when I got done, then he presented the gospel of Jesus Christ to me. I did not know that God could love someone like me. Some of you listening to the broadcast tonight are in that position right now. You've done some terrible things in your life. And you think, oh, God couldn't forgive that. There is no sin that God cannot forgive. He wants to forgive you. The Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you don't know Jesus, of course, you're lost. Now, Dorcas, her faith was living and bearing fruit. that blessed other believers. Listen, friends, I love Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Good works should flow from our faith. Friends, I tell you, I've said, heard people say, well, boy, that guy's a hypocrite. He says one thing and does another. Well, we have to be careful that we aren't hypocrites. Where do you find most hypocrites? In the church. Jesus said our good works would glorify our Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Let your lights shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How has your conduct changed since your conversion to Christ? Well, the Bible tells us in Corinthians 5:17. Now, this is very important. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things passed away. All things become new. Now, I told you, and I hope you don't get tired of me telling you that, I knew that morning that I wouldn't have no drinking problem anymore. I knew that because I didn't know I was a new creature. But after we walked outside that morning, I told the preacher, I said, look at those robins in those trees. They're just singing up a storm. Oh, preacher, look at that sun. Is it coming over Boeing Field? What a beautiful morning. And then he said, Cecil, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. He said, now, you're no longer in darkness. You're in light. You've been enlightened. Jesus lives in your heart. Your name has been written in the Lamb Book of Life. And you'd go out now and live for him. Now, I didn't have the slopiest idea what he was talking about when he said, go out and live for him. But boy, howdy, it didn't take me long to learn, because that next Sunday, I went to church and I listened to this preacher that introduced me to Christ in his home. And man, would that guy preach. He preached love. He told stories of changed lives. And you know, that's the one thing I do in prison and in rescue missions. I talk about changed lives because they have never heard that. See, people, I know what they feel like, because I told you a million times, I did not think that God could ever, ever forgive my terrible sins. See, Dorcas was diligent. Now, in Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. Friends, let me tell you something. You've heard me say this 100 million times, too. There's hardly any place in Christianity for tight-fisted Christians. You say, Cecil, come on. Yes, there is. It's hard because Christianity is giving. Christ gave, and he wants us to give. And I'm not talking about sending money to Cecil Moe. I didn't say that. I don't want you to send me money. I want you to help other people. I want you to help people who have needs. I want you to give turkeys and Christmas and Thanksgiving. Do something that's Christ-honoring. Now listen, I've told you before, there's a scripture that I love. He that gives to the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Oh, how beautiful. You cannot give God. You say, well, Cecil, I'm living on Social Security. Well, so am I. You bet your life that's all we live on. But we still do our tithing. We still do our giving. Because God will bless you for it. See, now a lot of people say, well, especially on TV, you'll see those guys, send me $1,000 seed and you're going to get this and that. Now that's all malarkey. That's all malarkey. I'll tell you what you do. If you do that, say, I'll give you that $1,000 check, but you write in there that if it doesn't happen, you'll send me the check back. I'll guarantee you won't hear from them again. She was full of good works and alms deeds. The mercy of Christ was demonstrated through her. And she saw people as God see them, in need of his love. Friends, you know, I've been criticized many times for preaching on too much love and not enough of the wrath of God. But, beloved, let me tell you something. I knew I was doomed and damned on the road to hell. I knew that. But what I didn't know, that God cared for me. That he really, really loved me. Oh, I hardly ever go through a message without quoting, for God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, friends, when I go to prison, my wife and I in court, I have seen tears stream down the faces of those ugly old men, tattoos all over them, and tough looking, and they just feel that they're so bad that no one could love them. And see those girls and those young women in prison, they're not really bad. They did something wrong or they wouldn't be in prison, but see this tear stream down their eyes. You know, I said one time, I said, ladies, I said, I wished I could wave a wand over your head and all your heartaches and all your tears and frustrations will be erased. I cannot do that. But I can tell you about a person that changed my heart and life, and his name is Jesus. Please listen, and I'll tell you, before this meeting is over, I'll tell you how you too could meet this wonderful Jesus and go out of here free from your sin. And oh, I tell you, I love that. The hands of Dorcas became the hands of her Lord. She was always reaching out to the needy. Widows found those hands, providing hands. When Dorcas died, the needy felt her loss. You know, I've thought about it. When you and I die, I wonder if people are going to remember our good deeds, or was our good deeds good enough to remember? Think about that. Think about that. She had been there when they were destitute. That's where you and I stand. We can be such a blessing. Did you know, friends, I'm telling you, many, many, many years ago, I was pastoring a church in Anacortes, Washington. It was a mean, nasty, rainy day, like, boy, you talk about, and it does rain in Washington. So you Washingtonians, don't tell me it don't. And I stopped this restaurant for a cup of coffee. And this woman came over, her face was so sad, she looked so beat, and I had a great big old smile on my face. I said, isn't it a beautiful day the Lord has made? Now, friends, probably 10 years ago, my wife and I was out on the West Coast, and I drove to that restaurant. I said, I wonder if those people still own it. And sure enough, there that lady is and her husband. And she walked up and shook hands and said, oh, I haven't seen you for years. I said, yes, I'm back in North Dakota, the director of a rescue mission. She said, can I tell you something? Many, many years ago, you came in here, and it was the nastiest day. And it was, oh, it was raining and cold and nasty. And you came in with a great big smile on your face. And you said, isn't it a beautiful day that God made? Oh, she said, you'll never know what that did for me. It picked me up. Well, it doesn't take much to smile, does it? Someone said, some doctors say it's better for your face muscles to smile than to frown. Well, Dorcas, She had ministered to them in love, and the hands of darkness were witnessing hands. She had a dedicated needle, and her hands spoke of the love of Jesus. Oh, friends, I just hope and pray that people will think of us in that way, that we have brought sunshine in their life. Now, my little great-grandson, he's 3 years old. I can be kind of having arthritic pains and oxygen pains. And that little rascal who come in, he calls me Pa. He say, "Hi, Pa." Oh, I said, "Luke, you're just such a blessed sunshine to me." He just brings sunshine in that room. And I'm so grateful and thankful for him. And I hope and pray that people feel that way about me. In the 38th verse, and it said, "And since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, entreated him, 'Do not delay to come to us.' And Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with him. But Peter sent them out and knelt down and prayed, and turned to the body. He said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up and gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known all over Joppa how, and many believed on the Lord because this woman truly was a wonderful person, a real born-again Christian. When I was a little fella, we lived in Odell, Oregon, and there was an elder couple, and they had a little hack and buggy, and they came by one day, and I was about, 8, 9 years old, and they wanted to know if my parents would let me go with them up to their house and have lunch. And, they were so poor. Just an old rundown shack, but boy, when you went inside, it was clean and spotless, and she had crocheted doilies and rugs, and it was just a beautiful home. And I remember we sat down, and all they had was soup, but it was sure good. But I remember before we ate that soup, Mr. Reynolds prayed and thanked God for the superabundance of things that he'd given him. Oh, I went home and I told my mother, I said, "Mom, they're so poor." And Mr. Reynolds prayed and thanked God because of all the good things. Oh, Cecil, she said, "Those people weren't poor. They were rich in faith." Well, when Peter came, knowing that faithful Dorcas had died, the circumstances must have reminded him of Jesus going to raise Lazarus. Remember when they went there and the girls and sisters were crying and the people were crying and even Jesus wept. But he did raise Lazarus from the dead. The weeping ones brought back the memory of Lazarus' family and friends. Peter called Dorcas back to life. "Tabitha, arise." And she arose. Listen, as a disciple, Dorcas witnessed of the saving power of Jesus. Don't witness with a gloomy face. Put a smile on your face. Put a song in your heart and a skip in your step. I'll tell you right now, people will notice it. In her deeds, Dorcas witnessed of the compassion of Christ. Now, the question that I'm going to ask, do our deeds witness of the love and compassion of Jesus for all? Oh, I hope so. Oh, I hope we do. My stars in the morning, there's so many people in the world. Go down to your bankers. Go to the rich people and see how unhappy. Go to the movie stars. See how unhappy they are. They've got money. They've got everything but peace. And you can't buy it with money. And you can't earn it with works. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." If you've not been born again, you're lost. Now, if the Holy Spirit of God is tugging at your heart, he's drawing you, saying, child, Cecil told the truth. Jesus is the only way into heaven. And you must repent and accept him if you're going to go. If you do want to go and you feel that tug, bow your head at me right now to pray the most powerful prayer, but please don't pray it unless you mean it. Here's how it goes. Precious Lord, please forgive my sins because I recognize I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me today for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you prayed that, won't you call 303-471-8534? I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask for any money. Friend, I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call, call collect. I'll accept the charges.
He molded and built a small, lonely hill that he knew would be called Calvary. Then he made the seed that would grow to be thorns that would make his son bleed. Then he made a green stem, gave it leaves, and then gave it sunshine and rain and covered it with moss. He grew the tree he knew would be used to make the old rocket cross. Nothing on a tree that he created. With great love for man, God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. With tears in his eyes, God looked down through time, saw him spat upon, rejected and mourned. Still he grew the tree he knew would be used to make the old rocket cross. Yes, he grew the tree.